Imagine fighting tooth and nail for just a tiny piece of prime digital real estate. Like, you're pouring all your resources into site speed, your backlink profiles, high-level content.
Right.
And then you realize you're completely ignoring this, well, this hidden language, a language that, if you just bothered to format it correctly, could practically guarantee you a top spot.
Yeah, it's a harsh reality.
Especially in this increasingly crowded search landscape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the reality for local search engine optimization right now.
Yes.
So welcome to today's deep dive, where we are going to get into exactly that.
And it's a reality that's catching, honestly, a massive portion of the market completely off guard.
How cool.
Because, you know, we spend endless development hours making a storefront or like a landing page look absolutely flawless to human eyes. We render the DOM perfectly, but we forget that the first entity actually looking at that page
isn't human at all.
Exactly. It isn't human. It's an algorithm. And if that algorithm has to, you know, expend computational energy trying to infer what your page is even about, well, you're already losing the game.
Okay, let's unpack this. The mission for our deep dive today is to really pull apart this highly specific, pretty technical piece of source material we have.
Yeah, it's a great read.
It is. It's an SEO guide titled The Structured Data Edge for Orange County Business SEO. And it details the exact back-end architecture used by an IT company called Technegion.
Right.
So we are looking at why, according to this guide, fewer than 30% of local businesses are effectively using schema markup. And more importantly, why this invisible layer of code has evolved from just a nice-to-have SEO bonus into the ultimate cheat code for surviving Google's 2026 AI search landscape.
And I think it's important to point out that the implications of their methodology, I mean, they apply whether you are running a local cybersecurity firm in Irvine, like they talk about,
mm-hmm.
or if you're managing some massive multinational publishing network.
Right, it scales up.
It does. Because to understand the advantage Technegion is leveraging, we have to look at how search algorithms are actually extracting entities from raw HTML.
Well, let's start right there at the extraction layer. Because for anyone listening who has been in the SEO trenches for a while, we all know the term schema markup, right? Or structured data.
Oh, yeah.
But let's really look at the underlying mechanics, because we aren't just talking about basic metadata here.
No, not at all. Schema markup is it's a standardized semantic vocabulary. It operates using this collaborative framework that you can find at schema.org.
Okay.
Because when a crawler hits a standard web page, it just reads raw text strings, it sees the word apple, and it has to use natural language processing to guess, right? Like, is this page about a fruit?
Or the tech company.
Right, or the tech company.
Hmm.
Or maybe a local apple orchard down the road. Schema just removes all that computational guesswork entirely.
So it's basically spoon-feeding the crawler.
Exactly.
Right.
It wraps your data in explicit semantic tags, so the algorithm registers unequivocally, you know, this is a local business entity, the service area vector is Orange County, and this specific numeric string right here is the telephone property.
I always found the origin of that specific vocabulary fascinating, by the way.
Yeah.
Because you have Google, Bing, Yahoo, and Yandex.
Yeah.
Like four companies that historically would gladly cut each other's throats for just a fraction of a percent of market share.
Oh, they are ruthless competitors. Absolutely. But if we look at the history of it, they all ran into the exact same processing bottleneck.
The internet got too big.
Way too big, way too fast. And parsing unstructured HTML to build their databases was becoming, frankly, infinitely too expensive and highly inaccurate.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they desperately needed a machine-readable ontology just to standardize entity extraction. So they essentially established a truce. They built schema.org together.
Which means if the architects of the search engines literally collaborated to write the dictionary, you are actively working against your own interests if you refuse to use it.
That's a great way to put it.
I mean, it's like handing a search engine crawler a 500-page novel and forcing it to infer the plot versus handing it a highlighted cheat sheet with neatly organized sticky notes where every variable is clearly defined. You are doing the computational heavy lifting for them.
Yes, that is the precise mechanical advantage. You are significantly reducing the search engine's processing load. And what's fascinating here is how this reduction in processing load suddenly became a survival metric.
Wait, a survival metric?
Yeah, because for years, schema was just considered a best practice. Like, oh, do this if you have the budget. Now, according to the source text, it is a make or break foundational requirement for 2026.
Right, because of the transition into the AI search era. Because the landscape isn't just about indexing 10 blue links on a page anymore.
Exactly.
It is about feeding those AI overviews and the search generative experiences,
yeah,
where the engine basically bypasses the links entirely and just generates the answer right at the top of the interface. Huh.
And that shift in the interface, I mean, it represents a fundamental shift in how data is retrieved. These large language models, at their core, they're probabilistic engines.
Right. They just predict the next word.
Exactly. They predict the next word in a sequence. They don't actually know facts in the way humans do. So to prevent hallucinations, Google uses something called retrieval augmented generation, or R.
ROGs.
Right. So the AI reaches into a structured database of known facts to anchor its generative text.
Okay. I hear that. But let me push back a bit on this.
Sure.
Because if I have invested a ton of money in an incredible content team, right, and my page has thousands of words of deeply researched, highly authoritative text about, say, managed IT services.
Okay.
Shouldn't Google's multi-billion dollar advanced AI just be able to read my text and figure it out? Why do I have to spoon-feed a supercomputer with a hidden block of code?
Because of mathematical confidence scores.
Confidence scores.
Yeah. If your incredible text is unstructured, the AI might process the natural language and determine with, let's say, 85% statistical confidence that you offer cloud migration services in Costa Mesa.
Okay, 85 seems pretty good.
It does. But what if a competitor has a fraction of your word count? Maybe their prose isn't even that great, but they have explicitly defined a service schema object nested within a local business object, mapping those exact geographical coordinates to that specific service.
I see where this is going.
Yeah, the AI's confidence score in their explicitly formatted data is 100%. The AI craves deterministic data to anchor its probabilistic models.
Wow.
So it will prioritize the 100% confidence signal over your 85% confidence signal every single time, regardless of how beautifully your prose is written.
So I'm essentially giving the LLM an anchor of reality. It doesn't want to look stupid by hallucinating a wrong answer to a user, so it just defaults to the data that is mathematically proven by the syntax.
Exactly. The source material lays this out as a hard truth. Businesses with clean, syntactically perfect schema are the ones actually appearing in these AI-generated summaries.
And if you don't have it?
If your site relies entirely on unstructured text, the AI extraction layer is literally skipping you. It skips you to find a more confident data source.
That is brutal.
It is. And the downstream effect on user behavior is massive. Google's own data indicates that rich results, which, remember, are entirely powered by this structured data, they increase click-through rates by a massive 20 to 30%.
A 20 to 30% bump in organic CTR is insane. I mean, if you are a digital director and you are ignoring a 30% delta just because you don't want to deal with some back-end scripts, you are leaving so much money on the table.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because that isn't just about ranking higher, right? It's about changing the physical architecture of the search result itself.
Yes, you are literally changing the UI of the search engine for your specific listing. You transition from a boring standard text snippet to a rich result displaying star ratings, maybe some interactive elements, and deep links.
Okay, so because the AI is mathematically penalizing ambiguity, we really need to look at the exact vocabulary it rewards. The Technician Guide outlines a highly specific schema toolkit.
They do, yeah.
But rather than just listing these off like a textbook, let's look at how they actually interact with the algorithms. The baseline they talk about is the local business schema, but the document really emphasizes nesting service schema inside of it.
Yeah, that nesting is absolutely critical. A standalone local business schema establishes the main entity, the name, address, phone number, and operating hours.
The basics.
Right, the NAP data. But by explicitly nesting a service schema inside it, you are drawing a direct semantic vector between your business entity and a specific kind of ability in a specific geography.
And the source uses their own IT company as the model for this, right?
Yes, the architecture they use is brilliant. It tells the crawler, okay, the parent entity offers managed IT services, and the area served property is strictly restricted to Irvine.
Got it.
But the parent entity also offers cybersecurity, and the area served property for that specific node is Newport Beach. You're essentially building a relational database for the crawler before it even attempts to read your paragraph text.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting to me, specifically regarding that visual real estate we touched on earlier.
Oh, the pixel space.
Yeah. The source highlights FAQ page schema as one of their highest ROI implementations.
Mm-hmm.
And from a strictly mechanical standpoint, I think this is brilliant because it literally weaponizes pixel space.
Weaponizes it? How so, in your view?
Well, think about the mobile search experience, right? If you implement FAQ page schema correctly, Google often rewards you with those accordion-style drop-down menus attached directly to your search snippet.
Right, the little drop-down arrows.
Exactly. So you aren't just providing answers. You are physically expanding the height of your search result.
Yeah.
Your snippet suddenly takes up an extra, like, 100 pixels on a smartphone screen.
Oh, wow, yeah.
By doing that, you are physically pushing your competitors down the screen, potentially below the fold where they are completely invisible to the user. You are dominating the viewport, and you didn't even have to increase your ad spend.
That is a phenomenal way to look at it. You are manipulating the DOM of the search results page entirely in your favor.
It's just smart.
It is. And the guide notes that Technigian actively deploys this on specific service pages. They capture informational intent and convert it into that visual dominance. But, you know, their toolkit goes far beyond just localized services.
What else are they focusing on?
They heavily emphasize article and blog posting schema, which ties directly into the mechanics of Google's EEAT.
EEAT experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. Mm-hmm. We hear that thrown around constantly as a ranking factor, but, and maybe I'm missing something here, how does schema actually prove expertise to a machine? A script block doesn't know if a blog post is factually accurate, right?
That's a great point. It doesn't prove the facts of the article at all. What it does is prove the entity of the author.
Oh, interesting.
Right. Google maintains the knowledge graph, which is this massive graph database of real-world entities, people, places, concepts, and all the relationships between them.
Okay.
So when you use robust article schema, you don't just type a name into the author field. You use the person schema, and you utilize a specific property called SameAs.
SameAs, what does that do?
It links that author entity to their real-world credentials. So you link it to their LinkedIn profile, their Wikipedia page, or maybe their academic publications.
Ah, so you are creating edges in the knowledge graph.
Precisely. You are explicitly telling the algorithm, hey, the string of text Jane Doe on this page, it is the exact same entity as this highly authoritative LinkedIn profile and this published research paper.
That is so cool.
Yeah. You are cryptographically tying your content to a trusted node in Google's database. That is how you mechanically satisfy the authority and trust components of EEAT. Without that schema, Jane Doe is just a meaningless string of characters to the algorithm.
That makes total sense. It's all about mapping strings to things.
Exactly. Strings to things.
And speaking of mapping trust, the toolkit also leverages aggregator rating schema, right?
Yes, which is arguably the fastest lever you can pull for conversion rate optimization. If you have verified reviews, implementing this schema pulls those aggregate star ratings directly into the organic search results.
So you get those shiny yellow stars right on the search page.
Exactly. It creates instant visual social proof before the user has even clicked your link.
Okay, so the architecture is pretty clear here. We have local business mapped to service areas. We have FAQ page schema expanding our physical pixel footprint, article schema tying our authors into the knowledge graph, and aggregator rating injecting that social proof.
It's a comprehensive system.
It's an incredibly powerful system. But the source material drops a fairly alarming statistic. Over 70% of local businesses are failing to execute this.
Yeah, it's wild.
If this is the foundational architecture of the modern web, why is the failure rate so high?
Because we're dealing with strict data parsers. And strict data parsers leave absolutely zero room for human error. We are talking about the silent killers of technical SEO here.
Silent killers.
Yeah. Think about it. A human user reading a web page can easily overlook a misspelled word or, you know, a broken CSS class or a missing punctuation mark. They still extract the meaning.
Sure. We fill in the blanks.
Right. But a DOM parser reading a schema script cannot fill in the blanks. It just breaks.
The source outlines a litany of common mistakes. And honestly, if you are just a small business owner trying to manage a WordPress site on the weekend, these seem incredibly easy to trigger.
Oh, absolutely.
One major issue they flag is misaligned entity data, specifically discrepancies between the hidden code and the rendered HTML.
That is a fundamental trust killer for the algorithm. Imagine your schema script declares your business phone number ends in 1234. But the visible text rendered on the footer of your actual web page says it ends in 1235.
To a human, it's just a typo.
Exactly. But to an AI relying on those confidence scores we talked about, it is an irreconcilable conflict. The algorithm instantly degrades its confidence in your entire entity profile. And when the machine loses confidence, your rankings just evaporate.
Wow. But I feel like the true danger zone, the part that actually requires engineering precision, comes down to the formatting itself. The golden rule in the Technogean guide is that you must use JSON-LD. They explicitly warn against older implementations like microdata or RDFA.
Right. And the distinction between them is really crucial for understanding why so many sites have broken schema today. Microdata required developers to interweave the semantic tags directly into the HTML markup itself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you had to wrap the schema attributes around the actual div and span tags right in the body of the page.
Which sounds like an absolute nightmare to maintain. Like, if a front-end designer comes in to update the CSS or changes a layout and deletes a span tag, they instantly destroy the semantic structure without even realizing it.
Exactly. The data layer and the presentation layer were hopelessly tangled. JSON-LD, which stands for JavaScript Object Notation for Linked Data, it solves this by completely decoupling them.
Oh, thank goodness.
Right.
Okay.
It is a standalone block of script that you inject safely into the head section of the HTML document. It doesn't interfere with the visual layout whatsoever.
So it's much safer from accidental front-end destruction. But the flip side of that, and the thing that should probably keep digital managers up at night, is how Google handles syntax errors within that JSON block.
This raises an important question. How do you fix a penalty if the judge never tells you that you committed a crime?
Wait, they don't tell you.
No. Because if you miss a single comma, or if you fail to close a curly brace in your JSON-LD script, the parser doesn't guess what you meant. It hits the syntax error, aborts the read sequence entirely, and silently moves on to the next website.
So what does this all mean?
It means Google doesn't send you a warning email. They don't flag an alert on your dashboard immediately. They just quietly strip away your rich results, your star ratings disappear, your FAQ dropdowns vanish, and your organic traffic plummets.
I can vividly imagine the panic of an IT business owner who logged in to tweak like one word in their schema header, accidentally deleted a quotation mark, and then watched their web traffic flatline overnight because the AI parser simply gave up on reading their site. It is a completely silent penalty.
It is. And in more severe cases, if Google's algorithms detect that you are intentionally using malformed or manipulative markup, like, say, applying FAQ page schema to promotional marketing copy rather than objective facts, they will apply a manual spam penalty to the site.
Which is why the source material heavily emphasizes that set it and forget it is a lethal strategy. You can't just install a schema plugin and assume you are safe forever.
You have to treat it like active infrastructure. The Technogean methodology relies on continuous validation. Before pushing any code to a production environment, it has to run through the schema.org validator and Google's rich results test.
Right.
But beyond that, it requires active monthly monitoring in Google Search Console's enhancements section.
Because the ontology isn't static, right?
Yeah.
The rules change.
Constantly. Google updates its parsing requirements and its rich result guidelines all the time. A nested service architecture that was perfectly valid and error-free in January might suddenly trigger depreciation warnings in July after a core algorithmic update.
So if you aren't monitoring the report, your site will just slowly degrade.
Exactly.
Well, this systematic, borderline paranoid level of maintenance is exactly how the authors of our source material operate for their clients. They don't guess. They execute a comprehensive page-by-page mapping strategy.
Yeah, they audit the architecture holistically. The homepage receives the foundational local business and organization objects. The individual landing pages are injected with service schema featuring nested price and geo-coordinate specifications.
And the blogs get the author entities.
Right. The resource centers get the blog posting and person entity mappings. It is a deliberate, highly engineered web of data.
And the guide actually notes they offer free technical SEO audits on their website. I mean, if you are listening to this and you aren't entirely sure if a missing curly brace is currently suppressing your site's visibility, letting an engineering team run a diagnostic on your JSON-LD seems like a baseline requirement for doing business today.
Absolutely. If you aren't actively auditing your structured data, you are flying completely blind in an ecosystem that only rewards absolute mathematical precision.
So bringing this directly to you, the listener, whether you are managing a local brick-and-mortar practice or overseeing a massive digital enterprise, relying on your brilliantly written, visible text alone is a strategy built for a bygone era.
It really is.
Hoping an AI will expend the computational power to figure out who you are and what you do is no longer viable. Structured data is your definitive competitive edge. It is the direct API connection between your business and the machine learning models that are now gatekeeping your audience.
The paradigm has fundamentally shifted. You are no longer just publishing content for human consumption. You have to architect data for machine comprehension. The organizations that successfully map their physical reality into a machine-readable ontology are the ones that will completely dominate the search interfaces of the future.
It really leaves us with a mind-bending concept to ponder as we wrap up. As search engines fully complete their evolution into these AI-driven answer engines, we are rapidly moving toward a reality where the visible, beautifully designed text on a website is purely there for human entertainment.
Just a shiny storefront.
Exactly. While simultaneously running entirely in the background, there is a completely parallel, hidden layer of code that dictates what actually exists and what matters in the digital world. Think about that next time you are fighting for your piece of digital real estate. Make sure you are speaking the language the machines actually care about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.